Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Good morning. Well, the one thing we want to remind you to do is to keep your Bibles closed, and that includes things on screens too. We want you, as Pastor mentioned, to just listen this morning, because the Lord wants to speak to you, and this will be a different experience from the reading. Or if you're trying to follow along, you might just miss what the Lord wants to say. So if you got the bulletin, I notice on the back, it's nice and blank. You can fill something in when the Lord speaks something special to your heart, and we'll take time when Rod is finished with his portion to see what God said to you, okay? So you get to share in this as well. Well, we're doing this backwards today. I'm doing 2 Thessalonians first because it's shorter. And this letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. It's written to the church in Thessalonica, you who belong to God our Father and to Christ Jesus our Lord. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. My dear brothers and sisters, we always thank God for you, as is right, for we are thankful that your faith is flourishing and that you're all growing in love for each other. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and your faithfulness in all of the persecutions and hardships you are suffering. But God will use this persecution to show his justice, for he will make you worthy of his kingdom for which you are suffering. And in his justice, he will punish those who persecute you. And God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted, and also for us on that day when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. He will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment upon those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news. They will be punished with everlasting destruction, forever separated from our Lord and from his glorious power on that day when he comes to receive glory and praise from his holy people. And you will be among those praising him on that day, for you believed what we testified about him. So we keep on praying for you that God will make you worthy of this life to which he called you. And we pray that God, by his power, will fulfill all of your good intentions and faithful deeds. Then everyone will give honor to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ because of you, and you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the undeserved grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I want to clarify some things regarding the coming again of our Lord and how we will be gathered together to meet him. Please don't be so easily shaken and troubled by those who say that the day of the Lord has already come. Even if they claim to have had a vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us, don't believe them. Don't be fooled by what they say. For that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness has been revealed. The one who brings destruction, he will exalt himself, defy everything that people call God, and tear down every object of adoration and worship. He will position himself in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember? I told you this when I was with you. And you know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. This lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. Then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. This evil man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit powers and signs and miracles. He will use every kind of wicked deception to fool those who are on their way to destruction because they refuse to believe the truth that would save them. So God will send all kinds of deception upon them, and they'll believe all of these lies. Then they'll be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We are thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy. And by your belief in the truth, God called you to salvation when we brought you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. With all of these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and take a strong grasp on everything we taught you, both in person and by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort your hearts and make you strong in every good thing you do and say. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Pray first that the Lord's message would spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes. Pray, too, that we will be saved from wicked and evil people, for not everybody believes in the Lord Jesus. But the Lord is faithful. He will make you strong and guard you from the evil one. And we are confident in the Lord that you are practicing everything we taught you and that you always will. May the Lord give you an ever-deepening understanding of the love of God and the endurance that comes from Christ. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I give you this command with the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from any Christian who lives in idleness and doesn't follow the tradition of hard work we gave you. For you know that you ought to follow our example. We were never lazy when we were with you. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard day and night so that we would not be a burden to anyone. It isn't that we didn't have the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. Even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: whoever does not work should not eat. And yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and wasting time meddling in other people's business. With the authority of our Lord Jesus, we appeal to such people. No, we command them, settle down and get to work. Earn your own living. And I say to the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. Take note of those who refuse to obey what we say in this letter. Stay away from them so they'll be ashamed. Don't think of them as enemies, but speak to them as you would to a Christian who needs to be warned. May the Lord of peace himself always give you his peace. No matter what happens, the Lord be with you all. Now here's my greeting, which I write with my own hand, Paul. I do this at the end of all of my letters so that you'll know they're from me. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
I guess, oh, there it was. I'm here. Glad you're there. Well, you look good. Most of you. That's an old line, and I should quit using it, I suppose. Well, this letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. It is written to the church at Thessalonica, "You who belong to God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, may his grace and peace be yours." Well, we always thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, and continue to pray for you, remembering your faithful deeds, your loving work, and your continual anticipation of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know God loves you, brothers and sisters, and has chosen you to be his own people. For when we brought you the good news, it was not just with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we told you was true. And you know that the way we lived among you was also further proof of the truth of our message. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit, in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. Now, in this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. And as a result, you became an example to all of the Christians in Greece. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to everyone, everywhere. For everywhere we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We have no need to tell them, for they keep telling us about the warm welcome you gave us and how you turned from idols to serve the true and living God. And they speak of how you're looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ, God's Son from heaven, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. Well, you know that our visit to you was not in vain. You know how badly we'd been treated in Philippi just before we came to you, and how much we suffered there. Yet our God gave us courage to declare his good news to you boldly, even though we were surrounded by many who opposed us. So you can see we were not preaching with any deceit or impure motives or trickery. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He is the one who examines the motives of our hearts. Now, never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know. And God is our witness that we were not just pretending to be your friends so that you would give us money. Now, as apostles of Christ Jesus, we certainly had the right to make some demands of you, but we were as gentle among you as a mother feeding and caring for her children. We loved you so much, we gave you not only God's good news, but our very lives as well. Surely you remember how hard we worked when we were among you. Day and night we toiled to make a living so our expenses would not be a burden to anyone there as we preached God's good news among you. And God is our witness, as are you, that we were always pure and honest and faultless before all of you believers. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his children. We pleaded with you. We encouraged you, and we urged you to live in a way that God would consider worthy. For you have been called into his kingdom to share his glory. We might have memorized, but sometimes my mind goes blank. I'm 71. That's really no excuse. Oh, yes. You have no idea how many times we went over this week. And we will never stop thanking God that when we brought you the good news, you did not consider what we said to simply be our own words. You accepted what we told you as being the very word of God, which of course it is. And that word continues to work in you who believe. And then, dear brothers and sisters, you suffered persecution from your own countrymen. The same experience as the Christians in God's churches in Judea, who because of their faith in Christ suffered persecution at the hands of their own people, the Jews. For some of the Jews even killed their prophets, and some even killed the Lord Jesus. Now they persecuted us and driven us out. They displease God and oppose everyone by trying to keep us from preaching God's good news to the Gentiles for fear that some might be saved. In doing this, they continue to pile up their sins. But the anger of God has caught up with them at last. Now, after we had been separated from you for a while, though our hearts never left you, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you. We wanted very much to come back. And I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. After all, what gives us hope and joy? And what is our proud reward and crown? It is you. Yes, you will bring us much joy when we stand together before our Lord Jesus Christ on the day he returns. Well, finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided that I should stay alone here in Athens, and we sent Timothy to visit you. Now, he is our co-worker for God and our brother in proclaiming the good news about Christ. Now, we sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from becoming discouraged by the troubles you were going through. Of course, we Christians know that such troubles will come to us. Even when we were there in Thessalonica with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come, and as you well know, they did. That is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out if your faith was still strong. I was afraid the tempter gotten the best of you, and all of our hard work among you had been useless. But now Timothy has just returned with the wonderful news that your faith and hope is as strong as ever. He reports that you remember our visit with joy and that you're as eager to see us as we are to see you. So we are greatly comforted in all of our own crushing troubles and suffering because your faith remains strong. It gives us fresh vigor and purpose, knowing that you remain strong in the Lord. Oh, how we thank God for you all. Because of you, we have great joy in the presence of God. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us come to you, that we might fill up anything that might still be missing in your faith. May God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, make it possible for us to come to you soon. And may the Lord cause your love to grow and overflow to each other and to everyone else, just as our love overflows toward you. Then Christ will make your heart strong, blameless, and holy when you stand before God on that day when Jesus Christ returns with all those who belong to him. Now finally, dear brothers and sisters, I again urge you to lead a life that pleases God, as we have taught you. You are already doing this, but we urge you to do it all the more, for you remember what we taught you with the Lord's authority. God wants you to be holy. So each of you must stay clear of all sexual sin. Then each of you will control your own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passions as do the pagans in their ignorance of God and his ways. Now, never cheat a Christian brother in this way by taking his wife. For as we have told you and warned you solemnly previously, the Lord avenges all such sin. God has called us to be holy, not live impure lives. Anyone who refuses to live by these principles is not disobeying human rules, but rejecting God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. But I do not need to write to you about the Christian love that should be shown among us Christians. For God himself has taught you how to love one another. Indeed, your love is already strong toward all of the believers in Macedonia. But brothers and sisters, we urge you to love them even more. This should be your ambition: to live a quiet life, minding your own business, and working with your hands as we have previously charged you. Then those who do not believe in Jesus Christ will respect the way you live, and you will not need to depend on anyone else to meet your financial needs. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you what will happen to those Christians who have died, so that you will not be filled with sorrow as are those who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus Christ died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when he returns, God will bring with Christ all those Christians who have died. I can tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are alive and remain on the earth will not rise to meet him ahead of those who are in their graves. For the Lord will descend with a commanding shout, and the call of God and the trumpet call of God and the call of the archangel. First, all those Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then, along with them, we who are still alive and remain will be caught up into the clouds to meet Christ in the air and remain with him forever. So comfort and encourage each other with these words. Now, I don't need to write to you about how and when all of these things will happen, for you are well aware of the fact that the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. When everyone is saying, all is well, everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as the onset of a woman's birth pains, and there will be no escape. But you are not in the dark about these things, and you will not be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and the day. We do not belong to darkness and night. So be on your guard. Not asleep like the others. Stay alert. Be sober. For night is the time for sleeping, but also the time when people get drunk. So let us who live in the light think clearly, protected by the body armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, decided to save us, not pour his anger out on us. Christ died so that we could live for him, with him rather, forever, whether we are alive or dead at the time of his return. So encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing. Finally, brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you, leading in righteousness and warning about all that is wrong. Because of their work, esteem them highly and give them your wholehearted love. And be sure to live peaceably among each other. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. And be patient with everyone. See to it that no one repays evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to everyone else. Always be joyful. I'm not sure he did that, but keep on praying. And no matter what happens, always be thankful. For this is the will of God for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Don't scoff at prophecies. But test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Keep away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of all peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ's return. God who calls you is faithful. He will do this. My dear brothers and sisters, pray for us. And greet each other in Christian love. Now, I command you in the name of the Lord to read this letter to all of the believers. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, for many of us in this room, we have read the word. We have spoken the word. We have owned your word for decades and decades. Lord, this morning I pray that whether it's for Jenny and me or anybody in this room, that you would perhaps, above all, impart to us this desire to know your word. To know it. Not just know a little bit about it here and there, but to know your word. And to pursue you through the disciplines you have laid out for us to be fully devoted followers of you. And one of those is coming to know your word. So, Lord, this morning, do your work in this room. As Paul said, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to warn those who are lazy, to encourage those who are timid, and take tender care of those who are weak. Folks, I warn you in the name of Jesus Christ, that there is a responsibility that comes when you lay claim to the promises of Christ. To know the Word of God. And God lays this out over and over in His Word. So, folks, would you receive that as a... It's not a challenge to go memorize. Would you receive it as almost as an impartation? That your hearts would be open to God saying, come, child. Come, child. Come, spend time with me. Be with me. Be with me in my word. Learn of me. And that you would personally notch the Word of God up to a higher point on your list of personal priorities. Somebody once said that revival is nothing more than having our experience catch up with our theology. I was raised in the Pentecostal church. Been a part of it ever since I was born. And we talk much about revival and the power of God, but sometimes we tend not to enter into the disciplines that God says, come and learn of me in this way. So that as we learn about the character, nature, fullness of God, we also learn then how to move sensitively into all of those wonderful giftings that the Holy Spirit grants us. And willingly and joyously gives to His people. And Peter in his first book says, in chapter 4, he says, the reason for the gifts is, he says, manage them well so that the generous heart of God can flow through you. Isn't that a wonderful picture of us being the purveyors of the grace of God to Casper, Mills, Evansville, and seeing the dynamic of the spread of the kingdom of God in all of the ways that we have spoken with our lips as desire over the past decades. Oh God, would you move us in ways that perhaps we've been unwilling to be moved before. Give us such godly confidence in what you desire to do and those you desire to bring into your kingdom, that we will begin walking in newness of equipping, newness of expectation, newness of confidence and boldness and fearlessness. In Jesus' name. Okay, I do not want this to be lengthy, but what did you hear, either in Jenny's 2 Thessalonian 1st or my 1 Thessalonian 2nd? Just shout it out as loud as you can. Pardon me? This is the New Living Translation 1st edition. There are two of them. The first one was released in 1996. The second one, I think it was about 2003, something like that. We've had the privilege of being connected with Tyndale House for about the last 10 or 12 years, and we're kind of ambassadors for Tyndale House, and the New Living Translation is in. They're a wonderful organization, by the way. Yeah, so that's what we've quoted from, and to the best of our ability, it's word for word. Someone else, just what did you hear? Just a thought. Think clearly. That's not one you hear a lot of, is it? And Paul writes that also elsewhere. Think clearly. Let us who live in, I love that picture. Let us who live in the light think clearly, protected by the body armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet. Any motorcycle riders here? Am I the only one? Hey, he admits it. And wearing as your helmet the confidence of your salvation. Yes, dear. Always be joyful. It sounds like Paul elsewhere too, doesn't it? No matter what happens, Philippians chapter 3. May the Lord give you joy. I never get tired of telling you that. You know, it's kind of a theme of his. Philippians is known often as the joy book. Yes, someone else? Yes, oh, yes. Ooh, you would bring that up. The man does not work, he shall not eat. There is not just an ethic of good work. There is a reward for good work. Don't forget that. Don't fall prey to. You know, what's the big thing we've heard about working in the last 15, 20 years? Work smart. Don't work hard. I don't find that in Scripture. I hear, think clearly and work hard. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, brother. Okay, what hit you about that? What was the perspective you when you heard that? That yes, kind of the same. I was hoping that was going to be brought up because it's like you were called into. We often read that book, that verse as you've been called into God's kingdom to share His glory. We get to share this glory. But what about we get to share His glory? See? We get to take the glory of God wherever you go. If you belong to Christ, the glory of God goes with you. The Holy Spirit goes with you. And you get to share that wherever you go. That's great. Yes, dear? Love? Yeah. It's kind of foundational, isn't it? Yeah, just love each other. There's a fellow by the name of Bob Goff. He calls himself a recovering attorney. And he was one of the plenary speakers at one of our Foursquare conferences years ago in Anaheim, and he started his session with this. All I can see in Scripture is just love everybody and start with those who weird you out. How's that? Huh? Now, there's the challenge, isn't it? Love. Yes, dear. Don't be lazy. Have you ever been lazy? Anybody been lazy? Yeah, there's some honest folks around here. Yeah. Me too. Yes. Oh, yes. 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 I need to learn some dactology. Jenny did that some years ago. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Okay, anybody else? Yes, dear. Yeah. How many women here have given birth? I don't want details. I just... Do you remember how suddenly those birth pains came upon you? Or how suddenly your water broke? That's how quickly the day of the Lord is going to come. And it says there would be no escape. Yes, Jenny, do you want to say something? Thank you. Okay, very good. That's as a man, that's not a thought I had. This moment of transparency brought to you by... Okay. Let us share just really briefly, if I may. Pastor Craig had said, I don't know how many, you know, how much of Scripture has been memorized. Let me tell you this. It is over the last 21 years. So it's a significant period of time. We have memorized 13 books and 7 large portions of Scripture, plus Jenny has memorized about 6 or 7 Psalms. Now, before you rush to the assumption that God has given us a gift, it can't be a gift. It's a command. God doesn't say, let's see, I'm going to pick about 42 people in North America and give them this gift of memorizing Scripture. It's not that way. Because 150 times in Scripture, God says, I want you to get the words there onto this book. At least 150 times. Listen, let the words of Christ in all their richness live in your hearts and make you wise. That's Colossians 3:16. I've hidden your word in my heart. Yeah. Does that mean God that David never again sinned? I don't think so. But if you read the life of David, you'll find out that he couldn't sin like he used to. Because God won't let you. The word of God really is a buckler to you. It will save your bacon. If you begin to hide the word of God in your heart, it will. One of the first things that happened with me is, as I began memorizing back in 2000, was that just about the bacon? Was that shallow theology is revealed very quickly. When you know the word of God, when a well-known televangelist, preacher, pastor once said, here's how God works to the whole nation. And I said, it's wrong. Why is it wrong? He was basically saying, this is the way God works. But then from the scripture we'd memorized, I could point to here and here and here, because those are also the way God works. See, it protects you. It's not just this veneer of knowledge. Do you know that knowledge is not the litmus test for spiritual maturity? Love is. That's why Paul said, love everybody. Love here, and then love out there. See? But I digress, which I am afraid I often do. God has challenged us, every believer, to become knowledgeable about the Word of God and learn the Word of God. He does not say, learn somebody else's opinion about this part of the Word. He says, you learn it. You learn it. You memorize it. Get those words hidden within. So we're here to challenge you to do that. So we're asking you to go find a chapter of Scripture. Yep, a whole chapter. Yeah. There are weeny teeny ones, and there are really big ones. You know what the really big one is, don't you? You'd be surprised how many people choose to begin by memorizing Psalm 119. 176 verses. Find a chapter and do your best in the next 3 months to make it yours. Just make it yours so that you can just speak it out. You can speak it out. And let God, as you speak it out loud, let him start bringing life to areas of your life that have been deficient. So here's how I want you to do it. Maybe this is the way the Lord wants you to try this, because it's beneficial in several ways. But choose your chapter of Scripture and then read it out loud once a day for 30 days. So what? Let's say take the month of October, okay? And for 30 days, just once a day, out loud, read your chapter. Don't try to memorize it. Just read it every day for 30 days. Then start memorizing it. And you will find that the memorization comes much easier, because you know that book. Reading it every day for 30 days, you know that book. You know everything in that book. So it's just kind of doing the jigsaw puzzle, you know? So, how many times? That was tepid. Four?
30 days.
Hallelujah. Some of you still don't believe it. So, how many want to join the adventure? One, two, three. I must have surprised a lot of you. There are some of you that didn't raise your hand, and you're going to go do it. You're going to go do it because you were afraid somebody was going to stand up with an iPhone and take a picture and say, gotcha. Which isn't a bad idea, actually, come to think of it. And one of these days, do you know that by your discipline and the word in this matter, you make Pastor Craig and Rebecca's job much easier? You see, it's not their responsibility to make you fully spiritually alive in Christ. They can't do it. Can't. God has called them to break and divide the word so you understand, yes. But what about the other 5 days a week? Spiritual maturity is a self-feeding program.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.